I want to invite you today to turn with me into the Gospel of Matthew, and let's spend the remaining of our time together, which we're about halfway through now. We'll see. Would you stand in honor of the reading of God's Word from Matthew chapter 1? But just before I read that, let me just speak these words of how Christmas, what it is for us today. It's the time of celebrating. It's a time for giving thanks back to God. And on top of that, something that Christmas has become is the greatest gift-giving time of year. According to the National Retail Federation, more than $700 billion will be spent on Christmas gifts this year. More than. And today, I just want to remind us of this. And not to sound cliche, but because this is the simple truth, the wonderful and simple truth, to remind us that while this is the greatest gift-giving time of the year, that we have already been given the greatest gift of all, the best gift of all, one that $1 cannot buy, one that $7 billion cannot buy, because it cannot be bought. It must be received with a humble heart, and it must be received with a grateful heart. And that's the gift of forgiveness. And that's the gift that Jesus brings, because that's the gift that he knew every single one of us was going to need. And it therefore is the most important gift of all, because without this, no other gift matters. Without the gift of forgiveness, our human relationships, and moreover, our relationship with God, is compromised, and it's irreparable. We can't make it right without forgiveness being placed into our lives, given to us by God. And this passage today, I think, speaks to us, teaches us that Jesus has come so that we could receive this gift from God. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Would you pray with me? Father, just let us hear you today. Removing the obstacles, the distractions, the things that hinder, encumber. Father, let these things be removed right now by your power, so that we see you, so that we hear you, so that we know you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. This word that we've just read says to us about Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. But how can he do this? It will be through the manifestation of forgiveness, through the shedding of his own blood. That's the only way that it can happen. And what that means is that he's going, the one that they are foreshadowing here, he is going to bear the penalty, the due penalty for God's people's sin. That's our sin. So it's very interesting to me, at least, that here in the very beginning of Jesus' life, even just before he's born, that they're already talking about his death. Jesus literally is the child who was born into this world with the intention of dying. That's why Romans 6:23 says this, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus could not save his people from their sin, but that he did not pay the wages of their sin, the penalty of their sin. And while this may be a very old story to us, while this may be a very familiar story to us, we must visit this story time and time again, over and over, because, friends, not a lot of people adequately reckon what has happened through Jesus' birth. And the reason why I say that is because people who realize that the greatest thing that they need is to be forgiven, these are forgiving people. People that realize that the greatest need that they have is forgiveness, these become loving people. That's why Jesus says in Luke chapter 7, he's sharing a parable there about a person's life. And in that parable, he says that those who are forgiven much, you know what they do? They love much. Now, this simply means that we love the Lord. It simply means that we love others because we know how much we are forgiven. We don't love so that we can be forgiven. We love because we know what we have been forgiven. And Matthew points out something else that's really monumental in this passage. It's in verse 23. He says, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." And that's something that we need to just let it soak in for a moment. God has come. And even now, God is here. Do you understand this? Right now, God is here. When the weight of that strikes me, and it does, it makes my heart race. And to be honest, I hope it does yours as well. God has come, and God is here. The Old Testament has a resounding echo throughout, where God says, "I will be your God, and you will be my people, and I will dwell in your midst." He says this in Exodus, he says it in Leviticus, he says it in Jeremiah, he says it in Ezekiel. And what this means for us in regard to Jesus is that Jesus has come for just this purpose. For us to know God with us. He came to save you, us, from our sins, so that we could experience God with us. We could experience friendship. We could experience fellowship with God the Father. Because that's what we were created for. Now that was messed up throughout the course of history. That union was broken through the process of sin. And we see that all the way back in Genesis. Genesis chapter 3, that's where it began. God walked in the garden, the scripture says, but Adam hid himself from God. Can you imagine? Not wanting God to see you. Not wanting to be near God. That's what happened. Adam rebelled against God. He knew he had failed. And because of that feeling of failure, because that knowledge of sin that was now in him, he did not want God to even lay eyes on him. He did not want to be near God. In Exodus chapter 32, the people disobeyed God, and they formed an idol to worship. You might remember that. It's the golden calf. Because of this, God was going to destroy those people. Moses begged him not to, though. That's Exodus 32. Move into Exodus chapter 33, and God was going to send these people on their way, get this, alone. They would have each other, but they would not have him. He was not going to go with them as they moved forward across the land. And Moses says, "Lord, if you're not going to go with us, don't send us out there without you. We need you." And Moses pleaded with God for God to go with them. Because Moses knew that that was the greatest need that these people and he himself had. Knowing, living, loving, and enjoying the presence of God. And because Moses was conveying this to God, God spoke to him and he says, Moses, okay, out of my love, out of my kindness, I will. I'm going to go with you. My presence, though, will not only go with you, but my presence is going to lead you to a place of rest. He was talking about the promised land. You see, the presence of God is what Moses valued most. Why? It's because he knew that was the greatest need and what God created people for. That's why Genesis chapter 3 verse 8 is so tragic. Adam and Eve are doing what? They're hiding from God because of their sin. And that's really a picture of what sin does. It does that for all of us. In sin, we hide ourselves. We remove ourselves from the one that we were created for. The thing we were supposed to be able to enjoy most, we turn our backs against that. And by that, by this, I mean God. We run, we hide, and we leave. But Matthew is telling us something else, though. He's telling us why Christmas happened. And he says it so that Jesus could forgive sinners. He could forgive people that are hiding. So that they could enjoy the presence of God as it is meant to be. So they don't have to hide anymore. You don't have to run anymore. So you see, you are the reason that Jesus came. But you see, also, you are the reason he died. But we must know as well this morning that he is the reason why we are here. He's the reason why we cannot help but celebrate. And so with this, friends, I beg of you today to worship this King. To honor him with your lives, to rejoice in the salvation that he brings, the forgiveness, the greatest gift that he offers. Revel in that. Because Jesus has been born. So give God the glory. Give him the glory through your life, with your life. Make yourself completely available to him, that his will would be done through your life. Now, I want to leave you this Christmas morning with this thought. Christmas has become, among other things, again, this time of blessing others, each other, with gifts. We give and we exchange, we give and we receive. And we do that, as Brother Terry mentioned in his prayer earlier, we do that with grateful hearts. But sometimes we're given gifts that can't be matched, aren't we? Every once in a while that happens. Now, when we exchange gifts, we like to try and provide something of similar or equal value to one another. And that's why we sometimes set parameters and we say, okay, well, let's not give gifts that are more in value than $10 or whatever that amount may be. Because we want to try and do about the same for each other in terms of what the worth may be. But sometimes it doesn't work out that way. Sometimes you are given things that you cannot match. And I'll be honest here too and say that's something that my family and I have received from some of you. Some of you have given to our family things that we cannot match. And in cases like this, whether it's my family or whether it's you receiving something that you too can't match, in cases like this, we just hope that the love and the gratitude that we have for those gifts is return enough or exchange enough. But here's my point. God has given us the greatest gift in Jesus Christ. And we cannot match his gift. But here's the good news. God does not expect you to match his gift. Because God knows that you cannot match his gift. It's one of the things that makes him so great is that he can give what we cannot give. But he knows that we can't match his gift. But he does look for something else from us. He looks for that expression on our face when we finally get to the point where we realize how much he has given us through Jesus. He's looking to see if your face lights up when you carry the reality of what it means that Christ has been born so that he could die for you. But more than that, he's looking on our hearts to see if our gratitude for this is unending gratitude. Unending gratitude of faith, of love, and of obedience to his word. These are the things that God is looking for in return, in exchange, even if you will. So this Christmas, my friends, let's give God the gifts of our love and our offerings of faith and obedience to his word. And just as he has blessed us, let us honor him in this way. Let us glorify his name with our lives. We're going to sing a closing hymn here in a moment, and this is our time of invitation. This song is our invitation song, and maybe you have come to understand this morning that there's something that's not right about your relationship with God, your appreciation, your gratitude, your love, your willingness to give obedience to him that's without end and certainly unconditional. But maybe you realize you've been withholding some of these things from God. Or perhaps you realize that you've been trying to hide from God because there is something in your life that you know is not right. And you've been trying to hold on to that and just hoping that God wouldn't find out or that God wouldn't come and require of you to deal with that properly with him. It's what Adam and Eve wanted to do. They just wanted to hide and ignore God. But they couldn't. And neither can I. And neither can you. So if there's things about your life that you've been trying to hide or hold back from God, friends, I'm asking you now, would you give it all to him? Would you give it all to him? Give all of yourself to him and surrender your life to Jesus right here on his birthday. How great would that be? For you to surrender your life to following Jesus on the day, the week that we celebrate his very birth, where he came to love you and to die for your sin. Or perhaps you have some other needs in your life. I know Christmas is to be a joyous time, but it's not always that case. That's not always true. Sometimes our lives are in great turmoil, even in what should be the happiest time of year. And so if there are needs or concerns that you have that you want to bring to the altar, I hope that you'll do that this, again, Christmas Sunday morning. Maybe you have praises, though, that you want to come and thank God and lay down at the altar as well. Or you've been visiting this church and you believe this is where the Lord wants you to serve and you want to become a member of this body of believers. Whatever the Lord may be working on in your life, in your heart, would you be faithful and would you be obedient? As we stand and sing our song of invitation, would you celebrate in this song and would you give God what will bring him the most glory in your life through this song as we stand and sing?